Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the Pink and Blue Xbox podcast.
Oh, that was so precisely spoken.
Because you just accused me of being too cockney.
Hello everybody, my name is Aaron, gamertag PG Monkey.
And I am Katie, Fluffy Dragon 86.
Hope everyone is well. In this episode we preview Unravel. We also take a look back at what happened to Joystick, because it's been nearly a year since they went out of our business. And take a look at the next batch of Xbox One backward compatibility games, question mark, because we don't know what those are going to be as yet. It's meant to be in the mix.
Oh.
Oh. So we take a look at the most voted for games on that on the Xbox forums. And also, of course, what we've been doing on Xbox recently as well. So there you go.
Yeah.
Solid lineup, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Unravel, then.
Unravel. Excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's probably one of the first EA games or EA-affiliated games that I've got excited about for quite a while.
Yeah, it's not completely EA's baby, is it? But
no, they're publishing
it. Stamped their name on it.
Yeah. Fair play.
Yeah, good. Like, it's a good game. It looks like a good game. I'm really excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
Developed by Coldwood Interactive from Sweden.
Sweden.
Mm-hmm. And they worked on games such as Move Fitness on the PS3 and Ski-Doo Challenge.
Sounds amazing.
On the Xbox 360. Not the most greatly received games, has to be said. Published by EA, as we just said, and the expected release is the 9th of February.
Yeah.
This year. It's actually on the Xbox storefront now.
Wow.
So if you want to take a look, and if you're a part of EA Access, I think you'll get it a couple of days early as well.
Which we're not.
No. <Nah. laughs> it's a puzzle platformer game, and it's following the path of Yarny.
Yarny?
It
sounds Swedish.
It does.
It sounds like a Swedish name.
Yarny, yeah.
Anyway,
this creature is made of red yarn and explores the world using the materials from his body. Creative director Martin Sahlin says the yarn, which steadily unwinds as you make your way through the game, represents love. And the character unravels as they journey away from what they love. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I first heard him say that, I was like, what the hell are you on about, dude?
Yeah.
When we heard him say that at E3, it was like, well, I don't really get it. Doesn't make sense in your head.
It sounded like a romanticised idea of the game, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Before you
but
actually
when you see
the game,
it's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that is nice.
Yeah. The game's puzzles and landscapes are inspired by a town in northern Sweden called Ömjöl.
Ömjöl.
Ömjöl, which is also the hometown of extreme metal band Mesuga.
Mesuga.
Ah!
Aaron's
metal face
rendition of metal there.
So yeah, I mean, it got lots and lots of praise at E3, and the guy Mr. Sahlin come on and he wasn't overly convincing, because he was very nervous. But I think he won the crowd over just simply because of his passion.
Yeah,
and obviously they got to see the trailer. And steadily there's been obviously more progress and more things learned about what's in store for the game. And it's, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this.
It's really beautiful to see the graphics and how you move along the platform using your yarn as, you know,
stepping stones, really.
Yeah, yeah. You can use it to pull yourself up on things. You can use it to wrap around things and pull on things. You can use it to, you know, aid your assistants in the world. And hearing Mr. Sahlin talk about how he created the game, for me, it was amazing, because you saw that when you saw the game being played. He created a metal framework doll, mm-hmm. wrapped it in yarn, and then put this doll out in the world and figured out how it would get across things, how it would puzzle its way around the world using its yarn. And you can see that in the game, yeah. I think. It's really amazing to see somebody's just got a silly, simple idea like that and took it and went with it.
Yeah.
You don't see great. Much creativity like that these days.
You don't. No. I mean, it would have been funny also for him to show pictures of when he got bored of the eventual idea and ended up putting Yarny over a dead squirrel or something.
Which is what Aaron would do.
Yes. Yes, I would.
Get a little toy gun from from a action man pointing at the squirrel.
For the win.
And this is why Aaron doesn't do game development.
This is why I don't do... Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I had to live with him.
He was on a camping trip for like 3 days or whatever. Admittedly, he was with his family, but he would have got bored at some stage and probably would have done strange things
I'm
with
sure
Yarny.
I'm sure he's got photos somewhere of him doing random things with Yarny.
Maybe that will be in the DLC.
Yeah, maybe.
The DLC levels. So, it's been nearly a year since we lost Joystick. When was it? 27th of January last year, they tweeted out that... they might be going under, and then later that day they confirmed it, and then on the 3rd of February it was gone, you know, and it just felt, well, that's an awful lot of good talent that's just lost their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, all because of, I think it was downsizing by AOL, and it was just so, so sad, because I thought it was weird timing as well, because at that time they were just celebrating their 10th year, and it was, I think, the strongest lineup of talent that they had. They was writing great articles, very insightful, very... personality filled pieces. Not only that, they were doing great live streams and fantastic podcasts. I mean, it was my go-to place. It was such a shame that they went, but of course, you know, they went on to other things as well,
which is natural
kind of progression. A lot of them went to Games Radar. I think Ludwig Ketzman, Susan Aren, Anthony John Agnello, great voice for podcasting, and also I think he should be in radio plays, he really should. Sam Prell is there as well. Richard Mitchell, part of the furniture for Joystick for many years. He's now doing work for Expo in his native Oklahoma. Alexander Slawinski is one of the funniest guys in the game, and also one of the most insightful. Is now teamed up with Mike Biffle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
they're very excited about that relationship.
I would be.
Yeah, absolutely. Zav DeMatos, who has come and gone with Joystick, he does a lot of freelancing stuff, I think, is editing and community director at Games Insiders. Jess Condit is actually still contributing to Engadget, who Joystick got partitioned off to. She's still doing loads of interesting stuff for Engadget in their gaming section. Yeah, there are probably more people I've forgotten to mention at the moment, but at the end of the day, you know, everyone's kind of moved on, and it's nice and that, but I still kind of miss that. I haven't got a gaming site where I go to. I don't go, right, I'm going to...
the one, yeah.
So there's still a big gaping hole. It's kind of like supporting a football team for me. Like, if Chelsea went under...
I wouldn't know what to do yourself.
I'd be lost. And it's the same with this. I mean, you know, Joystick went under, and I was like, I'm lost now. I don't know who I'm going to go to. And people have suggested, yeah, go to GameSpot, go to whoever, IGN or Polygon.
It's not the same vibe. It isn't the same people.
It isn't the same collective. You know, Gamescom this year wasn't the same. GDC wasn't the same this year. E3 wasn't the same this year, because Joystick did absolutely fantastic coverage. Really witty, really interesting stuff. So there you go. I hope everyone formerly of Joystick is doing absolutely great. And on behalf of me and Katie, thank you ever so much for producing what you did. It was a joy to read and be a part
no
of.
No pun intended. A joy.
A joy.
A joy, Joystick.
So.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
We miss you.
We do miss you. And good luck with everything. Particularly you, Xander, with Mike Biffle.
Yeah, great things could come out of that.
Oh, I can't wait to see what they come up with. It's going to be fantastic.
So now we're going to talk about the next batch of Xbox One backward compatibility games.
Yay!
Yes.
Because they brought in 104 originally, then another 17 just before Christmas.
Random numbers, yeah.
And the next batch is expected very soon. It might even... be out by the time you hear this podcast.
Maybe.
We was wondering what could be in this next batch, and people can vote, and people have been voting for what they want
votes
to come
have been
over.
Counted and verified.
Yeah, it's still going on, I think.
The next person to be evicted from the Big Brother house.
The next Xbox 360 game that will be coming over will be...
We don't know.
We don't know.
The one with the most votes so far, Black Ops 2...
Yeah, it's leading by a long way.
Yeah.
141,000.
Which shocks
000.
Me, because the server's going to close soon, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's still open.
And I don't think the campaign wasn't all that great, was it? Like, for people to want to bring it over to the new game.
No, actually, I thought Black Ops 2 campaign was...
It's all right, but...
That was pretty good.
Yeah, but not... I wouldn't want to play it again. Skyrim...
Skyrim, I can understand.
I agree with, yeah. Mm. I don't play it, but I can see why.
Mm-hmm.
You would want that, wouldn't you?
I play so many hours on Skyrim.
I know, but... Yeah.
I just felt with Skyrim, you got too powerful too quickly. Like, you were this... It was meant to be your destiny to be Dragonborn and things, so they could have paced that out a little bit, but within, a couple of hours, you were slaying dragons left, right and centre, which was just the wrong way to go about it. But it was a good game, obviously, and a lot of people liked it, hence they voted for it.
And Red Dead Redemption as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of my favourites. I was really excited for it when it came out, but it was just so slow.
What do you want to do? Like, stick a jetpack to its arse?
No, I mean, for a horse even, it was slow. I've never seen a horse so slow, apart from them little ponies on the seaside front.
Dum, 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 dum.
It's like, I don't know, the story was slow, the horses were slow, the people were slow.
I don't know, I disagree with that.
I didn't really like it, it's just a bit meh. So yeah, there's some of the fan favourites.
Mm.
Some of the other favourites being voted for are...
Anything remotely connected to Call of Duty.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, every single thing that's got Call of Duty in the title is in the top 20 or so most... voted for.
Which is understandable because they have a big fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So, rather than just pick your favourite ones, just vote for all of them.
Yeah, all of them. All of them. All of them.
And Fallout New Vegas.
Yes.
Are you happy about that?
I will still be playing Fallout 4. I've then got to go back to Fallout 3 and play that properly. To add another Fallout on top of that would... Probably, I would be all Fallouted out.
Fallouted out.
Yeah.
I'll see you in about 2029, yeah?
Yeah.
What else? Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
Mm, you like that one as well.
I did, yeah, I did.
These are all your favourite. Are you just voting for all of these?
No, these aren't my favourite games.
Apart from the Call of Duty. The rest are just your games.
They're great games.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2, you did play a lot of as well, mm-hmm. So you could go back to that. After you've been all Fallouted out.
Mm-hmm.
GTA 4.
GTA 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand that as well.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I don't know if I'd play it again, though.
No, I preferred San Andreas.
And San Andreas, yeah. I may go back to that one if it came across.
I would definitely play San Andreas again.
Yeah.
If it come on to the Xbox
One. I'd play it over GTA 4, I think.
Yeah. I didn't think GTA 4 was a strong game.
I liked it, but I preferred San Andreas.
San Andreas had an awesome soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
Just, so good. So good. Others that got high votes. Alan Wake has got 32,000.
Wow.
Wow. The Sims. Katie, The Sims.
The Sims.
Not as much votes as Alan Wake.
Because it's rubbish on a console.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like to see it on an Xbox One?
No.
Wouldn't it be good to have The Sims on?
Sims 4, yeah.
Well, that's
you would buy it for me.
Not going to happen.
No.
5,000 votes for The Sims 3.
I just don't think the gameplay is that great on a console.
No, it isn't.
It doesn't transfer well to a console from a PC game.
It's tedious. The games that I would like to see come across would be Trials HD and also Trials Evolution to make up the trilogy of Trials games. That would be good. Trials HD currently has 6,000 votes. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I would like to see that on Xbox One. 5,000. And just because we haven't got a decent boxing game on the Xbox One yet, Fight Night Champion.
You can't just pick it because we haven't got a decent boxing game.
No, you can. You can.
No, you can't.
A, I've got it. B, I've downloaded it onto my 360 so I can just basically whiz it straight across. C, it's a great game.
We haven't got a great crossword game on the Xbox One.
Are you referring to the one of the most lowest voted games on this list?
Well, yeah, judging by your ways of voting, we haven't got a decent boxing game, so therefore we should have Fight Night.
Right.
We haven't got a decent crossword game, so therefore we should have Coffee Time Crosswords on the Xbox One.
Do you know how...
And I still wouldn't play it.
So few people have voted for that on that list. There's like 75 pages of games that people have voted for, and Coffee Time Crosswords, I think, is on the final page.
Yeah, I don't doubt it at all. Yeah. I wouldn't play it even if they brought it across.
150 votes or something
It
like
was
that.
A joke. I was taking the mick out of your ways of voting for games.
All right, that's fair enough. But having said that, a really good crossword-type game that didn't get an awful lot of votes, or hasn't so far had an awful lot of votes to come across, was Quarrel.
I know.
I like Quarrel, and it's only received...
We both liked Quarrel.
When I checked this list, it only received 195 votes.
Oh.
Get voting, people. It's
get
a good game.
Get voting for Quarrel. It's really fun to play that game. And it was even fun to watch you play in Quarrel.
Yeah. And also...
And take the mick out of you.
Because I'm stuck on the final level on Quarrel. I'm never going to win it, I think, because you have to get the best word out of every single level. So, you know, if you slack off just once, that's it. The AI is going to beat you. But I love the game. And, you know, if you come up with a pathetic score, the Quarrel guys would go, meh, meh, meh. But if you come up with a great score, they would go, meh!
And I remember we used to scream at each other.
Yeah.
I would sit next to you on the sofa and wait for them to do it and go, meh! Because
it's worth bringing across the Xbox One for that.
Yeah,
just that
funny
little sound.
I want to bring it across just to see Abby do it. She would join in.
What other games have got low votes?
All the games that I like.
Really? What? No. Hannah Montana.
Oh, I love that game.
Really?
Not. I don't even know what it is. I don't know. What
Hannah Montana the movie has received 173 votes.
Too many votes.
Yeah. Quarrel we mentioned, Facebreaker, which is also a boxing game, but nowhere near as good as Fight Night Champion. 249 votes.
Oh my god!
NCIS, your mum's favourite.
Mum's voted on that 200 times. I bet.
273 votes.
200 of them were my mum.
Probably. And Pool Nation.
Aaron's favourite game in the whole world.
This is a stupid thing. Pool Nation, 325 votes on this forum, right? We've got Pool Nation FX on the Xbox One, but Pool Nation on the Xbox 360 is a far superior game. So get voting for that and bring that across and dump that FX one because it's shite in comparison.
Okay.
Okay.
You've been told, people.
I've not actually voted for any games. Whatever they bring across, if we've got them, great. If we've not, then tough. You know, aside from Oblivion, which I might go out and buy again, because it'll be like a couple of quid in game. If they bring that across, I'll probably go and get it. But I can't even find space for them on the Xbox anyway.
Stop filling it up with crap then.
Huh?
Stop filling it up with crap.
I've not got it filled up with crap.
Well, mine's not full.
But you've only got about four games.
I've got more games.
Have you?
I've got about eight games.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you installed them?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah.
And you've still got space left over?
Yeah.
Well, why the f*** have I...
I don't think we should discuss this on the podcast.
No. All right, well, what have you been playing out of those eight discs?
I don't know.
Last couple of weeks.
Black Ops, of course.
Mm.
Been playing Knife Fights, actually, on there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's quite funny. So, me and a couple of people that I play with, we all have a knife, and we play free-for-all on Nuketown, just as three.
Just Nuketown? Or...
Just Nuketown, because it's small.
Oh, okay.
So otherwise, if it's a big map, we wouldn't be able to find each other. It'd be a bit of a pain.
Yeah.
So we all have a knife, nothing else, and our special power as well. And we just have to stab each other.
Okay.
It's quite difficult because...
Do you have bots or...?
No bots. Just as free.
Right.
We play other games as well, but this is the one that I'm enjoying at the moment.
Okay.
And it's quite difficult because even if you have the map turned on, like if you're playing core rather than hardcore, you can't see because nothing comes up on the map. Because you're not shooting each other.
So are you allowed to throw the knives?
No throwing knives.
No throwing knives. Just you have to stab.
Just a dagger knife, yeah. You have to stab.
But don't you, when you stab people, don't they just jump back or
no. It
only injures them a little bit?
That's fists. You're thinking of fists.
Am I?
If you punch someone, it takes two punches to kill, yeah.
Right.
If you stab someone, it's one stab.
Just like in real life.
But it's all about who's quicker on the trigger. If you spot each other, then you... It's whoever stabs first, basically.
Right.
But sometimes we're all chasing each other in a line, and unless you stop and look behind you, you don't know there's anyone behind you, because you don't hear each other unless you actually swipe to stab them. You don't hear anything.
It must look like you're in some kind of Benny Hill
yeah, movie. So it's quite funny. It's all about tactics. You can even be the quiet chaser, or you can hide and watch the other two chasing each other, and when they finish fighting, you go stab the loser or the winner even.
Cool.
And Watchdogs.
Oh yeah.
Playing a bit more of Watchdogs. Getting into the storyline a bit more now.
Wasn't Cold Giblets going to come in and jump all over your game in Watch Dogs?
Oh yeah, he said he was going to ruin my game.
You have to look out for that.
I'm going to.
I like that element to it.
I don't see that's annoying.
No.
That's what happened. I remember now. I was in the middle of a game and someone started chasing me and was getting a lockdown on me or something. And I had to try and hide from them, hide from the cameras and stuff. Oh, it was such a nightmare. I was like, I'm in the middle of something.
This is someone, an
intruder. Online,
An intruder.
Online intruder coming to my game and was trying to hack me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm busy. Go away.
Did you suddenly get worried about what your Microsoft password was and things
like that? Yeah. It's like, shit, my bank details. I hope I haven't put my profile picture up. Yeah, no, it's a bit annoying, I think. But if you like that kind of element, then
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have.
If it was my friends, I wouldn't be so annoyed. But it was just some random person I didn't know, so it's a bit annoying.
I don't know, I think that would make the chase a bit more interesting.
And the fact I was in the middle of doing something else at the time, that was annoying. If I'd just been free roaming, I would have been fine.
It's like you almost waited for the perfect moment.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Quick, busy in a mission. Well, I wasn't in a mission, but I was doing something else. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Guess what I've been up to.
What have you been up to? Fall out.
Yeah, mostly. In fact...
I know.
Indefinitely.
I think that's the only thing you've played, isn't it?
It's the only thing I've played, yeah, pretty much since the last podcast. I'm trying to play the game more like the protagonist would. Because I've been farting around much too much, as you know, and as I explained, and as we made that YouTube video of us farting around, I'll give the link in the show notes at the end.
Fine, if you want to do that, that's what the game's made for.
It is.
You don't
have
to just jump straight into the storyline, that's the point.
You don't, but I mean, there comes after about 50 hours of playing it where you think...
I should have played some storyline by now.
Where you think, well, if I'm going to play this properly... As a proper RPG, as the main protagonist, I have to start the storyline, because you start it off as your wife is shot in front of you and your baby boy is kidnapped. Now, obviously, if you're going to play it properly, you'd be wound up a little bit, wouldn't you?
Wound up where your kid is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So rather than building sheds and fences for strangers, you'd be going after... whoever the hell took your kid and killed your wife.
Yeah.
So I reached this conclusion after about 50 hours of dicking about.
But that's fine. It's your game. You can play it how you like.
I know, but I just felt, what would my character do? And let's go out and do the missions instead. But I find it incredibly hard because I keep on getting distracted by, for example, like I say, about 50 hours in, I started the main storyline. Got to meet a detective called Nick Valentine. We go and do a quick mission to start off the whole process of finding my son. And then I come out and think, right, okay, I've now got to prepare myself for the next part. I'll just quickly go back to my base. So I'll just drop a few things off and I'll come back and do the next mission. As I was coming out of this particular place where I just, you know, completed the last mission, I went, oh, there's a building over there I've never seen before. Oh, wait. There's people fighting outside it. Oh, what should I do? Should I wait until this is over? No, of course not. Steam in. See what you can find. And I ended up spending another 2 hours of my Fallout career having a look at what's inside this building.
Procrastinating.
Yeah. Just basically messing around.
But that's the point of the game, though, I think, is you can play it however you want to play it. That's why it's so open. You can go and explore if you want to explore. You can play the main storyline if you want to play the main storyline.
Yes, I agree. But at the end of the day, there comes a point where you just think, right, I'm going to hunker down to the main storyline now. And I wish I was a more focused gamer. So that I could actually do that and not allow the rest of the intricacies around the side quests to get in the way of the main mission. An added bonus to messing around so much is that I've collected an awful lot of stuff.
Exactly.
So I'm leveled up my character quite quickly.
But for me, I find that if I'm playing open world games like that, if I just sit down and play the main storyline, then I'll get stuck into the main storyline and I won't want to explore and see what else is there to do. So when I finish the main storyline, I think, well, I haven't really explored that much, but I finished the story now, so it doesn't really matter.
Mm. We're obviously two different people when it comes
to
gaming, aren't we? Right, I think that's it then for this episode. Thank you ever so much for listening. If you do have a question or a comment, come and meet us on Twitter. We are at pinkandblue360. Share us your thoughts. We're also on Facebook. Come and meet us on there as well. Just search Pink and Blue and you'll find us.
If you have any questions, thoughts, anything, please just contact us.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a Q&A version of this one day.
Of what, the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that they can ask us questions and we can answer them.
Oh, all right.
Maybe it's like a little sideshow.
Question number one. Can you get rid of the bloke? So until next time, we'll leave you with something fantastic music-wise. But until next time, I've been Aaron.
And I've been Katie.
And we'll catch you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Me,
pick me. Oh, sir, please, sir. can I tell them about my two-player idea?
Go on.
Okay, so I don't think the game's going to have two player. It's going to be single player.
We don't know that for sure.
Yeah,
but judging by the price and everything.
From everything that we've seen about it so far, it's all single player. A two-player storyline. This is why I should.
It doesn't involve squirrels.
No, it doesn't. No. Although that could be the middle boss. But basically. I was thinking you could have like a two-player version, and no one nicked this idea, by the way. A two-player version, a split-screen version. One coloured yarn is travelling from left to right, the other one is travelling from right to left, and they meet in the middle. in some kind of like weird boss fight thing.
You have to fight over a ball of yarn.
Yeah, great. A cat, like a cat in the middle, has pounced over this big ball of yarn, and you've got to beat him up. Something like that.
Until you got to the yarn fight in the middle, I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Oh, okay. So I might.
But you never know.
I might leave that bit out when I picture the dragon's den.
It's not your game. You can't pitch a two-player version of someone else's game to Dragon's Den. I don't think that's how it works.
That's half of Dragon's Den. They take an idea and they put something on it.
Yeah, their own name.